It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
He'll shoot and he hits it!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two of Overtime here on this middle of the week, Wednesday, August 20th edition of Overtime. You're too late for the live chat with Green Bay Packer running back, SDSU Jackrabbit alum Amar Johnson. But I got good news for you. Podcast link is available right now at ESPNSiouxFalls.com and wherever you get your podcast, and in the palm of your hand on the ESPN Sioux Falls app, which is free, and it is a must-have if you'd like to stay engaged with the show and have the podcast at your disposal. Now, hour number two still ahead. Headlines, highlights, more on Max and Snoozy's 14 strikeout performance for Sioux Falls Little League at the Little League World Series. As Sioux Falls keeps on boogieing down and dancing their way to the next round, they'll see Irmo, South Carolina. We'll dig into some nuts and bolts of that city and that community coming up here soon on the show. Latest from the NFL season preview for the Jim Harbaugh-led LA Chargers, the identity crisis at 12:30, featuring a former NFL football player in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And we finish up the show with really great news. Jeff Filling is back behind the mic for Augustana Viking football this fall. You can listen all season long down the hall here at Results Radio, 100.1 FM KXRB. The play-by-play broadcaster, longtime voice of the Vikings, Jeff Filling, will join us in studio in about 40 minutes on this Wednesday edition of the show. Let's get into your scorecard. First things first, the Cubs finally got the better of the Brewers. 6-4 and 4-1 yesterday, winning both games of a doubleheader. Cubbies are 72-54. Brewers still miles ahead of Chicago for now at 79-47. Other finals from yesterday to take note of, very low-scoring game. It took extras to get the first run on the board, and it belonged to Detroit in the end. Detroit over Houston in 10. Tigers are 75-53. Other finals, St. Louis over Miami 7-4. White Sox lose in Atlanta 11-10. Kansas City over Texas 5-2. Dodgers win in Denver against the Rockies 11-4. And Arizona edges out against Cleveland 6-5, the win for the D-backs at home. Minnesota opened up a series yesterday against the Athletics. It didn't go their way, but Brooks Lee, big, bright, shiny spot down the stretch of the year.
Here's Lopez. Lifts this one high in the air, right field, long run, Blade. Blade looks up, gone. Opposite field, home run for Brooks Lee. 5-2 A's.
5-2 A's at that point. 6-3 A's would be the final. Minnesota with the loss, 58-67. Joe Ryan, 12-6 on the year. Here's Rocco's reaction to another big extra base hit for the youngster Brooks Lee yesterday.
Brooks looked good at the plate. Driving the ball the other way like that is a great sign for any player, but definitely for a young player. Trusting himself, letting the ball travel like that, knowing that he has the strength to hit some extra base hits the other way. He doesn't have to necessarily pull the ball to do that. He can actually shoot a ball over the right center field fence. That's a great sign.
So Minnesota loses yesterday. They're now 58-67. Game two of that three-game series will be at 6:40 tonight. Pre-game coverage at 6 o'clock right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. The big news of the day yesterday in Major League Baseball was Rob Manfred not being shy about potential expansion, potential realignment, and how it could shift and change Major League Baseball. Here's the commish now.
And it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel, and I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the east, out of the west, in that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim, would be two west coast teams, and that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our west coast audience. You know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and then we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
Many cities up for grabs. Of course, Raleigh, North Carolina, been clamoring for a Major League Baseball squad that is a sports city, cool town, definitely has the coffers to make it happen. We'll see, because the southeast portion of this country is devoid of Major League Baseball squads. They got the Braves, and their fans stretch all the way from Louisiana all the way up into West Virginia, Virginia, and the middle portion of the country. Another team in that region would be pretty darn sweet. Maybe it's Raleigh. Maybe it's somewhere else. We'll see in the future of Major League Baseball. Week 3 of the NFL preseason around the corner. Tomorrow night, we'll see two games. Steelers at Panthers at 6 o'clock. Patriots at Giants at 7. On Friday, Vikings will conclude the preseason in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans. 7 o'clock on CBS. Other area teams in action. Chiefs and the Bears tussle from Arrowhead Friday night at 7:20. Saturday, Texans visit the Lions at noon. Broncos are in New Orleans same time. Seahawks at the Packers. 3 o'clock on the NFL Network. The regular season opener, Thursday night football, Cowboys at the Eagles. Evan Cohen with an interesting assertion here on why more teams don't follow Dallas's blueprint. Give it a listen.
I don't know why more teams that are terrible at football don't act like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are done with football. Football is so irrelevant to the Dallas Cowboys. They've done that part of it. And it's funny, as you're going through this and reliving some of the decisions that Jerry made by way of the documentary, if you think about the last 40 years in the NFL, some of the hardest decisions that actually worked out in the history of the league over the last 40 years have been made by Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Trading Herschel Walker was an impossible decision that people thought was nuts. How'd that work out? Firing Tom Landry, nuts. How'd that work out? Hiring Jimmy Johnson. Oh, that could be crazy, hiring a college coach. How about firing Jimmy? Well, that wasn't good. He still won a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, who no one thought was a very, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. No one thought was a great NFL coach,
no.
Great college coach. He still won a Super Bowl with that guy. Why don't more franchises actually act like the Cowboys? And since they're not winning in football, try to win at the box office.
Maybe they should. Maybe they should make these big, splashy, unpopular decisions, hope something sticks, and become a bigger brand. You can make an argument that many teams should do that, but not a whole lot of people are brave enough to do it. Enough to do it, and frankly, hate to use the word, but sometimes foolish enough to do that, as we've seen from Jerry Jones in recent years. A lot of times making poor decisions, people are saying, same old Jerry, can you believe how meddling he is? This is absolutely bonkers. But alas, we're still talking about the Dallas Cowboys every single year. A lot of it's tongue-in-cheek, and we joke about the lack of postseason success, but they're still the biggest brand in football, and certainly a team at this stage of their franchise history that is a team to be reckoned with. They're okay. They're not great. They're not bad, but they're definitely a circus, and it continues to move on down there in Dallas. Let's talk about Indianapolis. They had a quarterback circus throughout the training camp and preseason. They solidified it yesterday. Daniel Jones, the starter. Why? Here's head coach Shane Steichen.
Daniel Jones will be our starting quarterback this season. I thought the competition in training camp was great by both of those guys. I thought they both competed really hard, and it was good to see them cheering for each other and battling the way they did. And you guys heard me talk about the consistency, and that's really what I was looking for. And really the operation at the line of scrimmage, the checks, the protection, the ball placement, the completion percentage, I think all that played a factor in it. I think Daniel did a great job doing that, and I think AR has made strides in that area. But I do feel that, you know, he still needs to continue to develop in those areas.
So in terms of that development, will it happen in Indianapolis or not? Shane Steichen had all sorts of good things to say yesterday about Anthony Richardson's reaction, although we've got different news from his agent today.
He handled it great. We sat down in my office this morning and talked, and I said, hey, here's the things that, you know, you need to keep improving on. The things I hit earlier, you know, about the consistency, and, you know, he agreed. He's like, yeah, I got room for growth there. And I said, hey, you're one play away. And he told me the same thing. He's like, you're right, I am one play away. So I'm going to attack it the right way, knowing that if something happened to Daniel, he's got to be ready to go.
So that's the issue. That's the solution in Indianapolis. Another quarterback battle yet to be resolved is down in New Orleans. Three-way battle between Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, and Tyler Shuck. And now you look up to another team that is still sifting through quarterbacks. They've named their starter. It's Joe Flacco. It's the Cleveland Browns. But the head coach of the Browns, Kevin Stefanski, not pulling any punches, saying, I'm not saying who our backup quarterback is, at least not yet.
You know, we talked long ago with every player on the team that, you know, these roles are not given out, they're earned. And that's something that will always be true at any position. I will tell you, I'm very, very pleased with that group and how hard they're working.
You're not going to say who's number two for week one right now?
I'm not.
He is not going to say who's number two for week one yet. The Cleveland Browns still sifting through a smattering of quarterbacks on the roster. They've got six right now. That includes Deshaun Watson, who is likely on the shelf for the entirety of the season. So five quarterbacks, likely four roster spots, maybe three. Some teams, like the Packers and many others, carry two quarterbacks these days. We'll see what the Browns opt to do if it's a second consecutive year that they enter week one, or at least roster cutdown day, exit roster cutdown day, with four quarterbacks on the roster. That's it for the NFL for now. Your NASCAR race coming up this weekend is at Daytona, 6:30 p.m. on Sunday on NBC. PGA Tour action begins tomorrow from Atlanta for the Tour Championship, running through Sunday. And WNBA basketball, Minnesota loses to New York on the road, 85-75. And a 32-point, 12-rebound, 5-block performance from Asia Wilson, the big difference maker in a 74-72 win for Vegas over Atlanta. The Aces are 22-14. Week zero of the college football season is just about upon us. Big game this weekend, Iowa State and Kansas State from Dublin. Coverage 11 o'clock on ESPN. K-State is a 3-point favorite. Texas will not be in action this weekend. They've got Arch Manning as their starter going up against Julian Sayin, and Ohio State a week from this weekend, next weekend, for college football action. Arch Manning poo-pooing his grandfather's thoughts that he might be sticking around in Texas no matter what after this year.
Arch, your grandpa gave an interview where he said he expects you to be here next year. Is he right?
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. he texted me and apologized about that, but I'm really just taking it day by day right now.
So Arch Manning saying Archie Manning, not necessarily factual information. Chris Canty says, I think there's a really good chance Arch Manning goes pro if the Longhorns have the season we think they will.
For a program like Texas that was in the conference championship game in their inaugural season in the SEC, with a head coach like Steve Sarkisian, it is on the board that Arch Manning has one of the best seasons that we see from any college football quarterback. He's one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman Trophy. So if all of those things come true, if Texas has a really good season and Arch is a big reason why they do, then why would we think that it's not possible for him to enter into the NFL draft?
It certainly is possible. And I would say right now, on record, on this August 20th, I've said it before when the news initially came out, but I think Arch Manning goes pro after this year with several guarantees to my hot take credit here. If the Longhorns are good, if Arch Manning plays really well, he's a top candidate for the NFL draft, and you got to have one or two or maybe three of those Manning-tied NFL franchises in the top five, top ten, striking distance to maneuver a trade to a preferred destination, as we saw with Eli Manning. It's not a guarantee that happens with the Manning family, but we saw it back in 04, and it might end up being that way in 2026. So if the Giants, if the Saints, if the Colts pick in the top five, and all three of those teams might very well end up in the top five this year, a couple of them possibly with new coaches, we'll see. Whichever bet is the cleanest and best made for the Manning family, we'll see about Arch Manning's preferred destinations before too long. Big things in store for Texas this year, the number one team in the country preseason. Week one schedule for college football around the corner a week from tomorrow. We'll be tuning in to USF Cougar football on the road in Spearfish against Black Hills State. Tom Frederick on the call. That's a 7 o'clock start time. Buffalo at Minnesota that night as well. 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Gophers a 15-point favorite. And also next Thursday night from Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium, the Huskers and the Cincinnati Bearcats. 8 o'clock go time on ESPN. Huskers between a 6 and 7 point favorite in the game. Now, the Little League World Series last night, Sioux Falls was up against it against Bonnie Lake. A challenging situation late. Max and Snoozy getting out of a jam. Give this a listen here last night from ESPN's broadcast. Big moments for Sioux Falls Little League out there in Pennsylvania.
He called strike three. Max and Snoozy pounds his chest. And all the love he gets from his teammates.
And all the love he deserves from his teammates. Max and Snoozy had 14 strikeouts last night. That pitch heard. He had the bases loaded up with one out. Back-to-back punchouts for Snoozy to get out of that inning. In the end, at that point, it was a 1-0 game. Just how close it was, how catastrophic it could have been for Sioux Falls. They hang on to it. keep on digging, and eventually get an onslaught of runs to their credit in the final frame. They win it 9-0 last night against Bonnie Lake. Again, late in the game was 1-0. Things come off the rails for Bonnie Lake late as Sioux Falls wins 9-0. Max and Snoozy, 14 strikeouts. Sioux Falls Little League 2-1. And they will take on Irmo, South Carolina, coming up on ESPN tonight at 6 o'clock. While we are talking on that subject, let's introduce you to those South Carolinians right now. Irmo, South Carolina, it's a town split between two counties. I don't know where this is, although I lived around that neck of the woods. Center state here for South Carolina. Low country, high country is how they call it. Think of East River, West River in South Carolina. Low country, you know, it's the coast. It's Charleston and many, many other cities down there, Myrtle Beach included in that. High country will be Columbia, South Carolina, Clemson, South Carolina, up there towards the mountains. And yes, there are mountains in South Carolina, believe it or not. You're learning something today on Overtime. According to Wikipedia, always reputable source, you got Irmo, South Carolina. Very small town, 11,569 folks as of the 2020 census, and was chartered on Christmas Eve in 1890 in the response to an opening of a nearby railroad. And the name Irmo was a result of combining the names of Captain C.J. Iredell and Henry Moseley. Irmo, South Carolina. There you go. You know something about tonight's opponent, 6 o'clock on ESPN. By the way, let's go Sioux Falls. Let's dive right in to our ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. Big time gift from Denny Sanford has propelled new things in store in motion down in Vermilion. At GoYotes.com, you can read all about it. USD Athletic Director John Schemmel has announced a $20 million gift commitment from Mr. Denny Sanford to help build a new state-of-the-art indoor track and field facility. The facility, in honor of the Bill and Jill Gasson family and pending board approval, will be known as the Gasson Family Fieldhouse. The gift from Mr. Denny Sanford matches the largest gift to South Dakota athletics in its history. Big stuff there. For Mr. Denny Sanford at GoYotes.com for the latest news, updates, and what you need to know about the new facility and the plans down there in Vermilion. Well, the Minnesota Vikings are looking around. They're sniffing around the wide receiver market. At least that's the narrative spun at Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. The Vikings got Justin Jefferson back on the practice field Monday, but they have other issues to deal with at wide receiver heading into the regular season. Jordan Addison suspended for 3 games. Rondale Moore out for the season. And Jalen Naylor is working on a new injury week to week after suffering a hand injury. You need those at wide receiver. State of affairs could lead them to look outside the organization for some help at the position. And according to Pro Football Talk, Tom Pelissero of NFL Media is reporting that the Vikings are exploring veteran wideouts who may be available in trades leading up to next Tuesday's deadline to set 53-man rosters around the league. We talked last week with Dustin Baker about this very topic. We'll talk tomorrow with Dustin Baker about it as well. And that is this. It's exclusivity at this point for Minnesota. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers cut in the next week in the National Football League. But the issue there is that all 31 other teams will have an opportunity to make the call, an opportunity to stash them on their practice squad, pay them premium bucks to make their roster. And for Minnesota, if you're taking it seriously, you got your preferred guys, you don't want to sit and wait and see. Make a call, make an offer, grab the player. Without a doubt, he's yours. For a 7th-round pick, for a 6th-round pick, for a pick swap, for a conditional pick swap, whatever it might be, Minnesota likely to get something done because they are suddenly wide receiver needy in Minneapolis, at least for the first 3 weeks until they get Jordan Addison back and likely Jalen Naylor back by then as well. Let's dive right into a little bit further, deeper dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day, talking Notre Dame Fighting Irish football. They've named a freshman, a redshirt freshman, C.J. Carr as the starting quarterback as of yesterday. Carr beating out sophomore Kenny Minchie after what was a fairly even competition for the job. Do you want to feel really darn old? I'm sorry. Here you go. C.J. Carr is the grandson of former Michigan coach Lloyd Carr and will make his first career start at Miami on August 31st. He's a highly recruited fella, top 300 recruit in the class of 2024, and replaces veteran Riley Leonard, who made the jump to the Indianapolis Colts in the NFL this offseason. Concluding your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two with this news from the NBA. Twofold news here. John Wall is retiring officially after 11 NBA seasons. 34-year-old played most of his career with the Washington Wizards after they made him the first pick in the 2010 draft out of Kentucky. Five-time All-Star point guard finishes his career with averages of 18.7 points and nearly 9 assists per game. Also out of the NBA, slow news cycle lately, but a couple big news items. John Wall retiring and Indiana Pacers coach Rick Carlisle signing a multi-year contract extension with the franchise. Team announcement yesterday after leading the franchise to its first NBA Finals appearance in a quarter century this past spring. Carlisle, who coached the Pacers first from 2003 to 2007 and was an assistant under Larry Bird when Indy had last made the finals in 2000, returned to the franchise in 2021 after a successful 13-year run with Dallas and won the 2011 NBA title over LeBron James and the Heat. And now Rick Carlisle back in Indiana for the long-term multi-year contract extension. You can grab the details and the story at ESPN.com. We'll take the break. First break of hour number two. When we come back, the latest from the NFL and a season preview for a really good team. Are they good enough? Are they great enough to be a contender in the AFC? You got your opinion. I got mine. We'll get to know my opinion of the LA Chargers coming up next. A season preview for the Jim Harbaugh-led squad out there in sunny California coming up next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's a Wednesday, August 20th edition of Overtime. Right around the corner, the identity crisis and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Before we're done today, we'll have Augie play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling back in the saddle this season, back in the studio today for an Augustana Viking football preview that's going to come your way right around 12:40. Breaking news from Chicago, secret Bajan man. The Bears are re-signing quarterback signing him to a two-year, $10 million contract extension with a max value of $16 million. With incentives. A premier backup quarterback, that dude has looked the part. Shepherd University's finest, Tyson Bagent, back with the Bears. Two-year, $10 million contract extension. Other news, quarterback news. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson Sr.'s future is in flux with the Colts following Tuesday's decision to name Daniel Jones the team's starting quarterback. Richardson's agent reacted with disappointment in the move and said he's unsure of his client's future with the team. The agent, Derek Jackson, stopped short of demanding a trade yet, but he wondered aloud whether Coach Shane Steichen's quarterback decision might have predetermined when the Colts signed Jones in March, may have been predetermined when the Colts signed Jones in March to a one-year, $14 million deal. Derek Jackson saying, according to ESPN, on conversations with the Colts, we have a lot to discuss. Trust is a big factor, and that is at best questionable right now. Anthony came back and made the improvements in the areas he needed to improve, and by all accounts, he had a great camp. Earlier Tuesday, Richardson said there were no hard feelings, and we played you the clip from Steichen reiterating the same, but the agency speaking a different tune, which might be actually the real feelings of Anthony Richardson. And frankly here, let's be honest, is Anthony Richardson ever going to play a regular season snap again with Indy? Maybe in spot duty, maybe in injury relief, we'll see. But if I'm another team out there that wants a kick of the tires on Anthony Richardson, at least make the call. See what it would take, a fifth-round pick, a pick swap, something like that to get Anthony Richardson in-house. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm looking at the Raiders. I'm looking at the Jets and these other teams that don't have surefire, solidified people in-house. How about the New York Giants? Another quarterback there. Other teams, the Saints, make a ton of sense to see. Make the call. Figure it out. Feel it out. If Richardson comes there and stinks, you can always cut him, and it's not going to cost you much. But it might be something worth exploring. The dude was a very intriguing prospect, is still a very intriguing player if he can figure out some nuances of the game. We'll see. No official trade request yet, but agent speaking a little bit different tune than what's coming out of Indy and what's coming out of Anthony Richardson as of yesterday. Other quarterback situation to monitor here. The Saints are taking their quarterback decision down to the wire. They have yet to name a starter in the final week of training camp. The last team to do so, Saints head coach Kellen Moore, said they want to use this week to make their decision. We got 3 days of practice and a game against the Broncos, so we got some excellent work coming our way. We'll make the decision post that. It's really, really close. Numbers, experiences, reps, and everything. It's going to go all the way back to the start of training camp. Everything is very, very close between this group. We'll see how it all plays out. I think it's coming down to the two-way guys between Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler. Jake Haener likely exiting from that conversation for now. But Shuck or Rattler, we'll see if there's a preference and if there is any proof in the pudding down there in New Orleans moving forward into the season. Vikings were back on the transaction wire yesterday, announcing the signing of running back Xavien Vallandigham and offensive lineman Zach Bailey. Vallandigham first entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent with the Texans in May of 2023, and had played college football at Wyoming and Arizona State. And then elsewhere, Bailey returning to the Vikings after spending part of the 2020 season on the practice squad, as well as the 2021 offseason with the team. Bailey is out of South Carolina. Green Bay Packer injury report for fourth-round pick defensive lineman Baron Sorrell. He has an MCL sprain, which Sorrell told Rob Domofsky shouldn't keep him out, quote, more than a few weeks. According to Acme Packing Company, SB Nation Packer blog, the rookie defensive end will be able to return to the field before the start of the regular season. That is the hope, as the team went out of its way to feed him plenty of special team snaps this preseason. Again, that article courtesy of Acme Packing Company. The Dolphins traded for a retired player this offseason, the rights to Darren Waller. And Waller officially activated today and is going to be good to go. Activated from the physically unable to perform list, he now is physically able to perform. Move allows the veteran tight end to get on the practice field for the first time since joining the team a couple of months ago. Buccaneers wide receiver Jalen McMillan has what Coach Todd Bowles described as a severely strained neck. We told you about this yesterday, but we'll see. He will be placed on injured reserve. That means that McMillan is out on the shelf for at least the first four games. Source said he could be out until after the week 9 bye. Tough news there for Jalen McMillan, second year wide receiver out of Washington. Now let's dive into our preview of the day. We talked Raiders and the fact that they're not going anywhere fast this year yesterday on the show. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Chargers, though. This was a playoff team a year ago. Disastrous playoff of appearance and performance by quarterback Justin Herbert. Are they going to be better this year? Last year, they were 11-6 and second best team in the AFC West. Head coach Jim Harbaugh is gearing up for year number two and is staying away from Ann Arbor for quite some time. His record in the NFL, 55-25-1 and a 5-4 postseason record. The additions for the Chargers this offseason, wide receiver Keenan Allen. They brought in guard help with Mekhi Becton off of the Eagles roster, cornerback Dante Jackson, running back Najee Harris, and tight end Tyler Conklin. Those are the big names to know that joined the Chargers this offseason. The departures, linebacker Joey Bosa, running back J.K. Dobbins, cornerback Christian Fulton ended up with the division rival Chiefs, and wide receiver Josh Palmer now in a big role with the Buffalo Bills. The ranks last year for the Chargers, they were 20th in yards offensively, 11th in points, and defensively, they were really darn good. 11th in yards and first in point per game defense. They allowed just 17.7 points per game. That's a winning recipe in the National Football League. We'll see if they can continue it. Another big reason Chargers were good last year is they took care of the football just about better than anybody. They were plus 12 in turnover margin. That is tied for third in the National Football League. Schedule highlights. They've got the 11th hardest schedule this year. Division is very tough. Playoffs are likely, but not a lock for the Chargers. The over-under is 9.5, and I feel safe on this one saying over. As in not overrated, Chargers are in the playoffs, double-digit wins in my purview. Are they a Super Bowl contender? No. I need to see more. I need to see some emergence. And frankly, I need to see more from Justin Herbert. Not the take care of the football Herbert we saw last year, but a little bit more of the gunslinger while not throwing the football game away Herbert we've seen in the past. We'll see about the Chargers. I'm going over 9.5 wins, calling it 10 or 11 in 2025. Back with the identity crisis and the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next on Overtime.
ESPN's Tomorrow of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's time to win big on this Wednesday edition of Overtime, but we got a boogie. We got a hurry. We have an appointment to keep with Augie play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling. He'll be in studio coming up here in about 5 minutes. So let's fire it up. The identity crisis brought to you by the original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. Your calls are welcome as soon as I start giving clues at 605-362-3776. That number, 605-362-3776. By the way, in terms of difficulty, today's is not too shabby. Let's fire away. Here are your clues. Courtesy clue, a former NFL football player. Clue number one, a wide receiver. This wide receiver went to UCF, University of Central Florida, played in the National Football League from 2006 to 2018. Really good career. Is he a Hall of Famer? I'm not so sure. Elsewhere, wore number 15 and 19 in his career. And here is the kicker. Here are the giveaway clues. Wide receiver, UCF, 06 to 18, wore number 15 and 19 in his career. And this player played for the Broncos, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Jets, the Giants, and the Seahawks. Who the heck am I talking about today? Your calls are welcome, 605-362-3776. We'll see if somebody's beaten you to the punch. Line number one, you're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Greg.
Greg, what's today's correct answer, Greg?
Brandon Marshall.
Way too easy today. Brandon Marshall was today's correct answer, Greg. I'll get you hooked up with your prize pack. Hang on hold for just a moment. Greg, today's big winner. Marshall, a six-time Pro Bowler, 12,351 yards and 83 receiving touchdowns. I'm not saying he will be a Hall of Famer, but that looks like a Hall of Fame resume to me for Brandon Marshall. Hall of very good, perhaps. Guy that never won the Super Bowl, but played on a lot of good football teams. Was a member of one of the more prolific Bears offenses in recent memory with himself, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett. That was a good time for the Chicago Bears offensively. Brandon Marshall, pretty nice long career, 06 to 18. Greg, our big winner today on Overtime. Now quickly here, lightning speed edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly brought to you by Hardscapes Outlet. Check them out today or any of their three Sioux Empire locations to plan your next outdoor project. You bring the inspiration, they'll supply the rest at hardscapesoutlet.com. Rory McIlroy, three-time FedEx Cup champion, has the second shortest odds to win this week's tour championship in Atlanta, and his odds are still five times longer then Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler's was listed at plus 160 on Wednesday at ESPN Bet, followed by McIlroy at plus 850. No other player has odds shorter than 12-1 at the sportsbook. It's a two-horse race. Frankly, appears to be a one-horse race as Scotty Scheffler, white hot, entering this weekend's tour championship. Other news to get to. Bad news here, I think. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee will announce its first of six rankings on November 4th using, quote, enhanced metrics instead of, I like that team. That team's popular. They make a lot of money. We'll see. to help evaluate team strength, schedule strength, and how teams perform against their schedule. That's the latest announcement from the CFP. If you're interested in the latest wild goose chase in terms of how to determine deserving teams in college football, that is all available. The criteria laid out that will most assuredly not be followed come November is available at ESPN.com. And lastly here, bad news for everybody else perhaps, but the New York Yankees went gangbusters again yesterday. Another 9 home run game. That's right. Giancarlo Stanton and Cody Bellinger each hit 2 dingers. Aaron Judge launched his 40th of the season, and the Yankees matched a franchise record with 9 long balls last night in a convincing 13-3 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. Judge, Bellinger, and Stanton went back-to-back-to-back in the first inning to give the Yankees, who also hit 9 homers during a win back in March, a 3-0 lead, 4 batters into the game, 9 homers, 13-3 win. Maybe, too early to say, but maybe this is a launching point for the Yankees to get back into the World Series conversation. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. Congratulations to Greg, our winner of today's identity crisis. When we come back in studio conversation, Augie play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling has made his way into the studio. He'll join us next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
We're right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime, talking all things college football, getting you primed and ready for every level, D2, D3, FCS, FBS, all the way up the totem pole, NFL football around the corner as well, and a bird's eye view is what we promised over the last couple of weeks to you sports fans out there. Augie, USF, SDSU, USD, we got coach interviews in season, but few and far between, we get to talk with the men behind the mic for these 4 big programs in our neck of the woods, and we conclude this particular portion of the college football previews by talking with Augie play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling, who joins us now in studio. Jeff, it's so great to see your face, my friend. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to see you, Bert.
It's great to see you. I was going to talk about some big returners for Augustana coming back, the quarterback, the head coach, obviously. You're a big returner as well. Welcome back, and certainly very excited to have you back behind the mic.
Thank you. I used all my time off last year, all my vacation. But it's exciting to be back. I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed, especially football. I love doing football. I missed it.
And certainly a big season ahead for Augustana. The program under Coach OJ is incredibly consistent and is littered with talent and guys earning NFL opportunities. No surprise, they're very well thought of, second in the NSIC preseason poll. What stands out year over year about this program, and especially as we get it going towards 2025?
I think retention, you know, in college football, basketball, any sport today, so many transfers. And Coach Olszewski has the highest retention rate of any football program in the nation.
Wow.
It's like 94.7% of his players stay. That's rare. That's rare. Because some of the players in the past, say Buckley, for instance, last year, the All-American, was reached out to by programs to come and play for pay, and he stayed. Jerry is just a wonderful mentor as well as a coach. And, you know, he trusts the players, they trust him. And that's kind of the shining thing, I think, of him.
And certainly there's a lot of playmakers back. And anytime you return a quarterback, that's a big move and a needle mover. Gunnar Hensley coming back.
4 sacks last year. I think he had 35 some tackles. And you think of defensive linemen, how they rotate a lot. That's a good amount of tackles. Mm-hmm. Tyler Byrne is the other starting defensive end. He's a junior. He's outstanding. Isaiah Huber returns at wide receiver at 51 catches last year, and he's, you know, he's even played running back at Augustana. And the running backs, well, also Austin Johnston's an excellent restart. That's got to be one of the smallest running backs in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Weight-wise, but he has got zig and zag and speed that are unbelievable, and hopefully Grant can get back, and then Ryan Kenny returns. He was the backup last year. To Epperson, who, you know, best ever yardage-wise in school history. He'll be missed.
Absolutely.
But I think it'll be exciting to watch those guys, and hopefully Grant gets healthy.
Running backfield going to be pretty darn important. Receivers, a lot of talent back for Augustana Viking football. Defensive side, you mentioned some pass rushers. I know Javion Farr, Peyton Buckley gone out of the secondary. What are you seeing out of linebacker core, secondary right now ahead of the year?
Well, last year, the three leading tacklers were Cade Linott, Peyton Wallace, and Buckley. They're all gone. Mm-hmm. And they all were nudging 100 tackles apiece. They're going to be hard to replace, and I think linebacker might be the biggest question. Secondary, Logan Leonard returns at safety. Bologna returns. He played a lot, and he kind of played Buckley's position. He's a really good young player. The corners all rotated in and out a lot. Demarius Williamson returns as a starter. Javion Farr, of course, now with Tampa, and had three tackles the other night. But replacing Wallace, Linott, and Buckley will be number one thing to do for the defense, because the defensive line should be good. Secondary, I think, will be fine. And special teams should be good, because Jake Lucena returns his third year. He's a junior as a kicker. He missed one extra point last year. He's going to probably end up being the most prolific field goal in amount kicker at Augustana. So that's good. He'll punt, too. And linebacker. And that's Coach Olszewski's biggest question. It could turn out great. They have a lot of good young ones. They have a Majeski kid who's a redshirt freshman from Hot Springs who they love. But it's seeing, you know, you got to be on the field. You got to see what's happening in front of you so you don't make mistakes. And sometimes young kids do. But we'll see. I think it's going to be an exciting year. They lost 13 starters. It's a young team. But, golly, he's got talent. You know, he's got 120 guys on the team.
Yeah, so big year ahead for Augustana football. It'll all begin Saturday, August 30th, Missouri Western coming to town. Home in week two, Saturday the 6th against newcomer, the Jamestown Jimmies. And then on the road at UMary, Bemidji State. That's the first four games of the year for Augustana Viking football. Play-by-play broadcaster and a friendly, familiar voice across the table, Jeff Filling, back here with us on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. When it comes to that schedule, I'm going to get a comment on the schedule in a moment, but favorite road trips that you've had with Augie. Let's keep it to football. I know you've been all over the map with basketball too. Favorite places to go? You can talk about the press box and the city and the experience, but some favorite places, familiar confines for you on the road as the broadcaster of Augustana.
Well, this would be my 40th year. How long you want me to go back?
As long as you want. As long as you want.
It was always fun doing games in Fargo and Grand Forks. Washington, Western Washington and Bellingham. They and Central Washington were in the league at one time when State and North Dakota State and Northern Colorado all left. So every year you'd go to one of the Washington schools. It was 2 years. Bellingham.
Gorgeous.
A lot of cruises for Alaska leave from there. So John Schultz and I, when we went out on Thursday, rented a car, drove up to Bellingham, settled in, drove back to Seattle, went to the fish market, had a great dinner, went up the sky, or the...
It's escaping me, too. What's it called? Space Needle.
Space Needle.
There we go.
Which I'd done before, but John had never done. And we went to University of Washington, walked around at the football stadium and the campus, and then took a back road back to Bellingham on Friday. Just beautiful along the ocean. That was, you know... Outside of football, it rained, which
breaking
it always
news,
does, the next day. But it was a nice day on Friday, and we enjoyed it. So it encapsulated the whole trip, not just football. Going to Central Washington was like driving to Pierre.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing, right? It looks like South Dakota. But, yeah, I always enjoyed going to Brookings just to hear people yell. But it was the old stadium. I wanted, when I heard they were going to play last year, I wanted to do the game so bad just to go back. But, you know, in the looking back at it, I could have done the first five games.
Yep.
Because I was in remission. I didn't think about it. that would have included that game. That would have been fun. But I watched him and listened to him on the radio and tried to stay connected while I was going through the journey.
Yeah, very happy you're back. Augie play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling back in the fold. Give us the broadcast details. 100.1 FM KXRB during football season. Pre-game show, half hour, hour. How soon can people tune in? And what do you guys got for special features, halftime, post-game, things like that?
Half hour. So we start with the coaches show. I just talked to Andy down the hall here, and I said, can we have a half hour again?
Yep.
So Jerry and I talk for about 10 minutes, and then we'll set for the game, which always starts at 1, mm-hmm. except at Mary. I think it's at 2 o'clock.
Start. Yep.
So I like the 1 o'clocks. At halftime, we'll have a guest, which I don't know who they are yet, but we always find someone interesting. Mm-hmm. One interesting thing, there's 2 players on the team whose dads played 93, 94, 95 at Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
So they played on the national championship team, Zadiska and Emsick. And Zadiska played, 5-6 years in the NFL for the Giants, right tackle as well. So he was the tackle for Scott Frost, one of them. And Emsick was a fullback, and their sons are both defensive linemen on the football team. I would guess that's rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have sons of 2 national champions play in your football team. But we might talk to one of them during the season. Then afterwards, we visit with the offensive coordinator right away because he's next door. And then we will visit with the defensive coordinator when he comes up. Then we have maybe players if they win.
Yep.
It's a little harder to interview players after losses.
Yep. But,
and then Coach Olszewski wraps it up.
So certainly a lot of fun broadcast to follow along with. Again, it's a half-hour pre-game show. So most every Saturday this season, you can listen to Jeff Filling and the broadcast crew for Augustana at 12:30, 1 o'clock start times. Week 3 at UMary up in Bismarck, 1:30 start time for the broadcast, 2 o'clock kickoff time. You can view the whole schedule and details at GoAugie.com. Lastly, as we say so long and wrap up our broadcaster preview segments here on the show, just to comment on the schedule, Missouri Western, Jamestown early, a lot of feisty teams, including the neighbors in town. Mm-hmm. Sioux Falls should be pretty good this year also with Augie, Duluth, and of course, Mankato. Going to be really darn good. Just to comment on the schedule in the league this year.
Well, I'm like a coach, so I go 1 game at a time in preparation. I start on Monday, and the game's on Saturday. So I don't like to get too far out ahead, but Mankato's ranked 4th. In the D2 poll, and they should be good. They're going to rotate quarterbacks again, I guess, but that's the way Coach Hoffner's been able to do it. Missouri Western Augustana has played twice, and it was both in the Mineral Water Bowl, which if you didn't get into the D2 playoffs and you were the next highest team, you went to Mineral Springs, Missouri, and you would play the MIAA highest team that didn't get in. And 2 years in a row, it was Missouri Western. Lost the first time, won the second time. And the great thing about Mineral Springs, the hotel there, Al Capone would go there and stay in the suite up top because it was like hot springs, you know?
Yep.
He enjoyed going there. So I saw his ghost a couple times
when
I was there. Yeah.
The ghost of Al Capone. Yeah.
He had the scar, so I knew it was him.
Yeah.
But, I think, Bemidji could be a surprise. But they lost their best player. He's going to go D1, and he ended up at Mankato, as if they needed to get any better.
Yep.
Wayne will be interesting. New quarterback, finally. They had a 4-year starter. But, how many players from Nebraska or D1 programs went to these places you don't know, or I don't know yet, because I haven't looked. I know South Dakota State has 2 wideouts from Nebraska that have 1 year left, and I think a safety, because they had to get down to 105, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Augustana didn't have any of those types of players. Somebody like Wayne may have. It'll be interesting to see. But that's the last game of the year, so I haven't even, I know their colors are black and gold.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got that figured out. The season opener just over a week away, Saturday, August 30th, Missouri Western, the opponent, week 2, Jamestown Jimmies come to town Saturday, September 6th. First road trip up to Bismarck at UMary. Every single game on the schedule, 1 o'clock start time, except for week 3 against UMary. And a lot of postseason expectations and aspirations for Augustana Viking football. Play-by-play broadcaster Jeff Filling back in the saddle for 2025, and very happy to welcome you back. Appreciate the time in studio. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Bert. Happy rest of your Wednesday.
I look forward to it. That'll wrap up the Wednesday edition of the show, Augie Football. You can tune in, half-hour pregame show, 12:30 most weekends, down the hall, 100.1 FM KXRB. I'll give you a moment. Hit that button on the radio dial. Save that station for Augie Football, 100.1 FM KXRB, half-hour pregame. Full great broadcast with the smooth voice and the familiar, friendly face. Jeff Filling back in the saddle again for Augie Viking football in 2025. We'll be talking with Coach OJ every single Wednesday during the season. Hope you can join us. That'll conclude this Wednesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.